Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. David Amekwa, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, David?
Good morning, Matt. Really quickly, I just wanted to talk to you about the 15% global minimum tax that Janet Yellen is proposing. It's a bad idea. And the reason being, there's countries that can say, no, the heck with it. I mean, there might be, the European countries, most of them, but there are plenty of other countries around the world that could say, no, I'm not going to do it. And if they, and there's what recourse is there to enforce it? If, I mean, it's sort of like trade. We can't force, certain countries to trade. The same thing would apply with the minimum tax. I mean, I know Ireland for sure is going to go tooth and nail because they're at 12.5%. So, and if you look at some other European nation or countries, they have been lowering their taxes. But again, do you think China is really going to commit to it? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt India would. I highly doubt that quite a few countries, South America would even commit to it. So the problem is that, and it sounds great, and it sounds like, well, this is going to be a good thing. The problem is you still have too many countries around the world. They're not going to abide by it. And essentially, companies will just go over there. That's just my opinion, but the fact of the matter is you can't have one global minimum tax. It's impossible. It's ridiculous.
All right, thanks for calling in, David. I disagree, but well put, and let me give you the refutation. First of all, the kinds of companies that are not paying it by and large are not just metal benders or, they're not just putting out T-shirts and beads. I mean, you're talking Microsoft and so on. Ireland, a little over 12%. What is its incentive to go up 2.5%? Well, I'll tell you what, the United States is a major trading partner and a major ally of Ireland. We're the ones that engineered the Good Friday Accords. And there's a heck of a lot of people in the United States of Irish descent and in our government of Irish descent. So some pressure from the U.S. government, I think, and from the EU. I mean, the other thing is the EU can very well put in a requirement that all of their people, all 20 some odd countries, go to 15%. Now, some of their votes have to be unanimous. I understand that. I don't know if there's some that don't, but it goes back and forth. But in any event, the other thing you have to think about is you're Microsoft. Where do you want your technology to go? Where are you going to find a workforce that's trained as a good educational system, and that's basically like an American workforce? And it's going to be Europe. That's where it's going to be. And it's probably going to be one of the G7 countries. Now, China, good luck. You send over your technology to China, it'll be stolen. China requires that you turn over your technology to them, and the state takes it. You're out of your mind to do anything in China that you can't stand have stolen. Now, India doesn't require stealing it, and we are an ally of India, and India and China hate each other, and we back India over China and so on. We back India over Pakistan. But the fact of the matter is, people will have people in India do some things, but is Microsoft going to set up its operation in India? They're very, very disparate educational systems over there. There's the caste system. And others, around the world in Africa and the Middle East, you're liable to have Al-Qaeda raid your thing. So basically people want Europe because they've been hiding income there a long time. And you may also remember this, but it wasn't too long ago in this country, we had minimum tax for individuals. I paid minimum tax for a long time. And you know, it was a bite, but everybody did it. And then it got, they got rid of it. They got rid of the alternative minimum tax, AMT. They got rid of it. So it's happened before, but I think it's worth trying for the simple reason that not just the G7, but all the EU countries are going to have a lot of pressure to go along. They all tax something. The 15 is down closest to the bottom, and they like trading. They like our alliance with them. I think it's worth trying. And anywhere else, good luck. China, they'll steal it. They will absolutely steal it. And anywhere else besides China, and even in China, very, very uneven educational systems. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Well, good morning, Matt. I don't know if you've touched on this yet or not. I was outside the listening area, but I want to talk about HR1 and Joe Manchin. It doesn't look like he's going to vote for it, which means he's slapping Georgia in the face, because without the two senators from Georgia, he would have no power, none, zero. So I don't know what his end game is here, but as far as I'm concerned, if the federal government doesn't pass some kind of voter regulations, the Democratic Party is in big trouble. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't understand, Joe. Okay, that's it, Matt. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. No, that's a very, very key topic for this show. Let's hit it right now. And then we may have to hit it a little later after the break, too. We have a couple minutes now. Joe Manchin announced over the weekend that he will not support SB1, which, like HR1, is the primary fair voting bill. It would get rid of gerrymandering. But as a matter of law, for federal seats like Congress, but the minute they put that in, it would also have a spillover onto state elections, because they're, you know, loosely around the congressional district. So he won't do that. He would also provide for absentee voting by mail in person. It would make sure that there are enough voting machines per 1,000 people, regardless if you were in Houston or a small town somewhere in northern Wisconsin, proportionate to population. It does a lot of terrific things. There's nothing objectionable about it. Joe Manchin took a dive, and Kyrsten Sinema rides in his coattails. She does the same thing. If Joe Manchin won't vote for it, you don't have to worry about the filibuster. He's already said he's not going to suspend the filibuster even for a single bill. And so then you only have 49 votes. He'll vote with the Republicans. It'll be 51-49, and Kamala Harris doesn't come into the picture. It is contemptible. It reminds me, back when Obama came in, we had 60 senators. We could have done anything over a filibuster. But one of them was a guy named Nelson from Nebraska, who's just like Manchin. And he go, yeah, I'm a Democrat, but yeah, no, I want bipartisanship, but then he'd vote with the Republicans, or he would not uphold the filibuster. He'd not overcome the filibuster when we had 60 votes, which is all it took. So Joe Manchin is running as a Democrat in West Virginia, because that's sort of a cultural statement, which he thinks is good. But he is not doing us any favors. What he did do, he did vote for coronavirus relief. I think everybody in his right mind realized that if Joe Biden didn't do something, this country was in serious shape. We had tens of millions of people out of work and all of that. But what to do with Joe Manchin? We're going to talk about that a little later in the show. What to do about Joe Manchin? Basically, we don't have 50 votes. We don't have 50 votes. We can't just say, okay, we have 50 votes, you have 50 votes, Kamala Harris comes in. Now it's a question of, is it budget reconciliation, which is what the parliamentarian has to rule on, and she rules against us. We can override that too. And we can say, just like Moscow Mitch said, he's going to override the veto on a selective basis, not the veto, the filibuster, for Supreme Court appointments, for cabinet appointments. So why don't we do the same thing? Why this pretense that we need bipartisanship against somebody like Moscow Mitch? Going to a break. The lines are still open. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you after the break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.